Here we go.
This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Big Jim Murray in for Maz, Marshall Hook in the update studio. If you're watching on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, where we beam throughout the country and New England every single day, you missed the update. The Red Sox suspensions, Hook. Tell me again, who is it? Who got popped for PEDs?
That would be AAA catcher Oscar Hernandez.
You ever heard?
50-game suspension.
You ever
second
heard of this guy?
Offense.
No, I never heard of him.
That could have been someone good. All right, so anyway. So it was a Paw Sox who got suspended for 50 games for PEDs.
Yes.
So and that was all hype.
And the Stephen Wright thing, so a little bit. So the Stephen Wright thing was, you knew that was coming in some way, shape, or form. And I wonder, you know, they're talking about him not being ready to start the year either. They're always couching it in an injury. Seems sort of weaselly. Did they know that this was coming the whole time?
Well, what's important to note is the suspension does not begin until he's placed on the active roster.
Okay, so
It doesn't matter. He can be hurt all he wants. As soon as he is activated from the DL or placed on the active roster.
Has he pitched yet?
Is he in spring training? I don't think so. No.
So if he starts a year on the DL, then he has to come off the DL and then serve the suspension.
Yes.
Something tells me you won't be seeing much of Stephen Wright this year. I don't know. It's not off to a solid start for him. So anyway, there's your Red Sox news. You can weigh in on that if you want. The big story today is Kyrie Irving. The Celtics announced that he'll be undergoing, again, as Hook said, a minimally invasive procedure tomorrow to alleviate irritation in his left knee. That could mean he's done for the year. It could mean that he's trying to fight through it. I think it's the second thing. And I think he's going for one of these lube jobs, if you will. A platelet replacement procedure or injection that a lot of athletes go through, whether it's on their knee or a shoulder or an elbow. A lot of guys do it. Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman have done it in the past and played through it. You've had, Marcus Morris did it this year as well with his knee.
Yeah, Marcus Morris back on middle of December had this done to help with his knee. And apparently in the NBA, they do this with a lot of guys dealing with knee issues all the time.
How much did he miss?
I got to look that up.
Okay, so, but Marcus Morris returned and returned strong, and so...
I mean, his knee has kept him out for stretches of, you know, five or so games here and there throughout the season, so it's something he's had to continue to deal with, but so, you know, recently he's looked pretty damn good.
So the question on Irving is, you want him back this year? Is it important to you to go to the NBA Finals, even though you're going to lose it? And yeah. I would say yes, and I would not overemphasize the beginning of next year. Now, if you're going to do further damage to it and really mess the guy up, then of course not. We're not doing that. But if he can...
If it's a pain tolerance thing, then I want him to play.
And if you want to get the screws out after the year and that puts October in jeopardy, I can live with that. I think the team is sensitive, though, of repeating the Isaiah Thomas situation, where they pushed that, Isaiah pushed that, and he was really damaged goods the next season. So I think that they're...
And it took until about last month for him to actually look like Isaiah Thomas.
So I think he is, or they are, the Celtics are sort of reluctant or gun-shy because of that. But it feels like the players are the ones that want to come back. I say players, I mean Hayward as well. But Kyrie, you know, I mean, what's his motivation there? He feels he's got LeBron. I mean, you still buy that? He feels like he's got LeBron by the short ones, and he wants to put it up on LeBron and get past LeBron and sort of prove that whole point?
Oh, I think so. I think that's his main motivation. I think he realizes that they're vulnerable this year, and if they have home court, that the Celtics are the better team.
Okay, so that's one of the items here on Agenda Free Friday. A couple open lines if you want to grab them. Rare openings at 617-779-0985. Anthony and Waltham, lead us off this hour. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, I was wondering, if in the next 4 years the Celtics do not win an NBA Finals, will Danny Ainge's time as the Celtics GM be a major disappointment? Because I think he's getting a little too much of a pass. He's got one championship in like 13 years.
13? Whoa, 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 18. What, one, okay. One championship in 18 years.
I'm sorry, I was wrong. Long story short, he's overrated. He needs to perform better. No excuse.
I'm with you, Anthony. I don't think he's overrated. I think he's excellent. But, he took over in 2000, right, Jimmy? Is it 18 years? Or was it 01 that he took over? It was 17, 18 years. If any other GM...
2003 is when he took over.
Okay, so I'm sorry. It is 14, 15 years. If any other GM had won one championship in 15 years, would we like him as our GM?
No, I think he would be criticized a hell of a lot more, especially by the fan base, but you know how Celtics fans are.
We'd call that guy Harry Sinden. We'd say, how the hell do you keep your job without winning anything? One championship in 15 years as a Red Sox GM? Oh my God, Hook. You'd want him fired yesterday. One Super Bowl in 15 years for the next Patriots GM? We'll get him killed. But Danny, for some reason, has won one championship in 15 years, and he's treated like John Wooden, Red Auerbach.
I think there are two things at play. One, the trades are undeniably been in his favor. Even if they have not resulted, even if they hadn't resulted in championships.
Grand slam home run.
It's hard to argue he's done terrific with those trades.
Trader Danny, he is a beast at the trade.
I understand that's a little bit of a make fun of kind of
a
name you've
bit.
Got here.
Put him up, everybody. Here comes Trader Danny.
And the trade deadlines haven't been impressive, but his offseason trades, I think, have been terrific. And it's the NBA. And in the NBA,
You just hit on it.
It's so much harder to win a championship in the NBA than those other three sports because it comes down to one player. And particularly now, and granted, at the beginning of his tenure, he obviously didn't have Golden State and LeBron James. But particularly now, if he won one more, or even if he only goes out with this one, getting one championship in the NBA is hard to do, much harder to do than in those other sports.
Okay, so I think that you've just hit it, that the degree of difficulty in the NBA is through the roof, especially when you're in a place that's not really a destination. Maybe it's becoming it, but it's not. You know, it's like you're the Lakers or Miami or something like that, a place players want to go.
But with all these recent...
So we say, okay, fine. It's really hard to do, and we give that to you. At what point do you say, well, you know, one in 15 years, one in 20 years, one in 25... Like how long does that...
Well, I definitely think we're on our way up to the next rebuild. Or, you know, we're getting to the point where another one has to come along, right? So it was a process the first time. He got a championship. He held on a little too long. But now this rebuild is getting to the point where we think we're, what, one player away or waiting out LeBron or waiting out Golden State. If this one doesn't result in a championship, if we get to the top of the hill and the top of the hill this time is, what, a finals appearance or an Eastern Conference, a couple Eastern Conference appearances, well, then that, I think, is troublesome.
I think you got to have one here in the next 5 years with these moves that you've made. You know, and you're getting in players like Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, and you've used picks on Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. You need to have a championship here in the next 5 years, or the legacy's going to take a little bit of a hit.
Yeah, and so if it ends up like 2-25, that may not seem like a great number, but I think given what the NBA is and what it takes to do it, that would be a pretty good accomplishment.
So, ties into the Kyrie thing, because my concern's, you know, big picture. If Kyrie's quote unquote damaged goods, if he's someone who's if this knee problem is just something it's going to dog him his whole career and prevent him from being everything you need him to be, that is not bad luck, folks. That's how he led off the show today. Like I don't. This is not the Gordon Hayward injury was bad luck. It's a guy that got undercut in the first 5 minutes of the season and landed wrong on his ankle. Bad luck. Kyrie, nothing happened to him. He didn't have no one landed on him. No one kicked him. No one. This is a pre-existing degenerative. I say degenerative, but it feels like just a pre-existing issue. And he's dealt with issues his entire career. He played 11 games at Duke his 1 year there because of injury. So when you trade for a known injury risk and then he ends up not making it through his first season, that's not a fluke. That's not bad luck. That's sort of what you bargain for.
No, and I think what's going to end up happening here is it's going to be manageable. I don't worry about Kyrie Irving losing a step because of this pre-existing injury and whatever's going on now until he's into his 30s. So you still got 4 more years here, to me, that you don't have to worry about it because he's come back from this after he fractured the thing in the finals of 2015, and he hadn't lost a step. He still looks like the same player. It's just you're not going to get a full season out of him, so you're going to have to manage it going forward.
And ultimately, wasn't one of the criticisms of him that he wouldn't kind of go out on a limb on a trade? He would only make the trade if it was so clearly right. In his favor.
Right.
Well, in this one, he gave up a Brooklyn pick and he took a guy with an injury history. This is the one that could make or break him, right? Because if it works out, well, then he went out on the limb and he won. And if it doesn't, well...
Just telling you, and I'm not, you know, I guess I am second-guessing the trade because I think that's fair to do. I'd still make the trade. I'm not saying he shouldn't have made the trade. I'm just saying this was part. I guess what frustrates me is that it was underplayed that Kyrie had his own injury problems too. We talked about again
getting rid of Isaiah.
Isaiah, but, like, oh, the idiot Cab, you're so stupid, Cleveland. Bought a guy. You took a guy with a damaged hip. You idiot. Yeah, Danny pulled one over on them. You know, I heard a lot of this. I heard that. Oh, Danny's so smart. He got the Lakers pick instead of the Brooklyn pick because that Lakers pick is going to be much better. Danny nailed that one. And look at the idiot Cavs taking. Isaiah Town. Amazon and his bad hip. Well, turns out that the Lakers pick was much, much worse than the Brooklyn pick, and you took back damaged goods too. So just, again, I didn't hear that nearly enough at the time of the trade. So that's sort of what I've circled back to today. Agenda Free Friday continues right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupable. And Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
So Kyrie, from everything that I was told last, is, you know, that knee has been sore, but he is, you know, he's worked really hard to manage it and throughout the entire season. And, you know, I think, you know, he's had some pretty good days recently. So I'm encouraged by it, you know, in the big picture.
The one thing that hasn't changed with this Kyrie Irving injury, I'm told, is that there's no structural damage to that sore left knee, and that they still believe in Boston that the best remedy to get him better and back will be rest.
Boston, to me, is a team that I thought would be in the Eastern Conference Finals, but without Kyrie Irving. I mean, we look at their heroics and what have you, and they've got no chance as far as I'm concerned. They'll be, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not giving them any shot to get to the conference finals without Kyrie Irving. They need him, and they need him bad.
It is too bad, whether it's lucky or not, if they don't have him, because I do think this is an NBA final team. Well, where they will get schwacked by the Golden State Warriors, but I do think with the healthy Kyrie Irving, they'll run into the NBA Finals, which would make just for a great spring if the Bruins can do something. And I just, you know, that is such a great time of year. You get playoff games every other night, playoff series, all those storylines, all those great games. I like it. Whether I'm a basketball guy or not, or a Celtics guy or not, I appreciate a run.
Well, the learning experience for the young guys like Brown and Tatum would be important. You know how important it would be for Kyrie to get over the Cleveland hump and LeBron and to shove it in his face. And it further makes this team a destination, you know, for potential free agents. So it would be huge.
It'd be huge for them. Be fun for us. And if he's out, of course, it's over. Not even worth discussing. But again, we believe that he's pushing to stay in there, and that this procedure is not to end his season. It's not to, you know, correct the ultimate problem. It's to manage it and lube him up a little bit so we can play through it. That's our guess. So we'll see if that actually works. So we got that. Bruins, whatever you want here on Agenda Free Friday leading up until 6 o'clock. Here's Joel in New Hampshire on the Kyrie Irving situation. Hi, Joel.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you got?
Hello, guys. Well, you know, pretty much you guys hit a lot of the points on the Kyrie Irving thing. I mean, it is what it is. Hopefully it doesn't hurt us too much in the playoffs this year, but pretty clear that we're not going to win the finals this year. But so what do you guys think on the rest of the guys that isn't Kyrie or Jalen or Marcus or Tice or Gordon that are getting minutes? How important do you think their minutes are right now, and how expendable do you think Al Horford is in the offseason?
Jimmy, how expendable is Al Horford in the offseason?
Al Horford will not be traded by the Boston Celtics anytime soon.
Why?
If he leaves, it's because of his own doing. The why is because I think Brad uses Al to communicate with the team. I think he's a team leader, and he's a winning player.
Okay. What if, let's just say, New Orleans needed Horford back in an Anthony Davis trade?
I think Danny's a yes. I think Brad's a no.
Now, it has to be a yes.
Would you
Come
shut
on.
Up? So you're saying Brad Stevens wouldn't want to let Al Horford go if that's what it took to get Anthony Davis?
I think you lose the coach.
Oh, come on.
Are you serious? Like, lose
do
him?
Do I sound serious?
Yeah, you do sound serious. Like, you mean, like, lose him, like, metaphorically lose him, or, like, lose him? He goes back to college.
I think that's an option.
Have you thought this through, or is this just...
No, I've actually... enough people have asked me about moving Al Horford, and that's kind of my feeling. That's what I believe.
You are unbelievable.
You believe. So this has been run up the J. Stu flag.
Yeah, this
is what I'm hearing.
This has been run into the corner office at J. Stu Incorporated. So you've actually worked through these permutations.
That if Al leaves, if Al is traded, I think the coach is out.
Oh, my God.
But I don't think that's happening. This isn't happening. They're not trading Al Horford.
I mean,
well, now I almost want them to, yeah. just to see this play
just
out.
Just for spite.
Yeah.
Just to see this actually
yeah,
happen.
Come on, let's go.
I mean, Jimmy, what if it keeps looking the way that it's looking with this guy? I mean, he's 30, looking like he's going on 40.
I don't want to get anyone in trouble for something they haven't done. Brad Stevens hasn't officially done this. This is just Jimmy Stewart doing the Jimmy Stewart thing. But if Brad Stevens is going to stand in the way of Anthony Davis because of a teacher's pet like Al Horford and his 7 points a game, give me a break. With Skippy Magoo there on the bench and Brad Stevens,
hasn't Brad stood in the way of getting DeMarcus Cousins?
I believe he has. I believe that's true.
Do you believe that? Is that your source?
No, I do believe.
Yeah, I believe that to be true.
I believe because others believe. That would aggravate me.
Yeah, me too.
Would you please, Al Horford?
Because he's good in the room.
7 points and 6 rebounds because he sets his
room, guys. Gerald Green was big in the room last year.
Understood. You have to pay him $30 million?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Tony and Shirley on the Patriots. Hi, Tony.
Thank you.
Tony. Hello.
Say, Michael, if you cut me off, I've been waiting 2 hours. I've been listening since you've been on the air. Jim Murray should have your own show. Listen, real quick. Okay?
Yep.
Now, I think Garoppolo should kiss Brady's butt. Because without Brady even looking over a show like Bledsoe did maybe in the day, he wouldn't get the money he's getting. Number two, Michael, you're so good at hockey, you put Rolick a shame. I love watching you when you're on hockey.
Thank you, babe. You and the Bruins both.
Now, let me finish. Please don't cut me off.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for once in my life. I was going to say, if you guys are on Sirius Radio, I don't condone swearing. But I tell you, your ratings are already up there. They'd be off the charts to throw the F-bomb. You get so good in your talk, you want to say, and I know you can't.
Oh, Tony, if we were XM, man, no stopping us. Maz on XM? Oh,
I mean, he's been clamoring for that for years.
He asks it all the time. He mentions it all the time. Let's go to Sirius.
No one uses the F-bomb off the air better than Tony Maserati.
No, there's no one with a mouth like that.
Tony or Greg Bedard got one in while you were gone.
Oh, yeah.
He had to be bleeped.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a very subtle F-bomb by Greg Bedard during his
tremendous.
Stand by.
Oh, yeah, let me hear it. So Scott and Weymouth, while we're waiting for that, go ahead. What do you got?
What's up, Felger? What's up, Jim?
Hey.
How you doing?
Two quick points, please, if I'm granted the time.
Go.
A, concussions in hockey. What do you think? This may sound like a preposterous idea, but I think it's legit, and I'll get to the offsides after this. What do you think about players removing their helmets? Because maybe dirty players will keep their elbows down and cut the dirty BS. If, you know what, it might come back to you in 5 minutes on the next shift. I don't think it's that far-fetched. It's trending towards more protection. It used to be no helmets. Then it was helmets. Then it was visors. It's probably going to be cages like high school hockey soon, and perhaps that's the right thing to do. I'm saying, why not take it the other way? Your helmets are
off. No, I got you. Okay, give me number two.
Number two, the worst rule in all of sports, any sport, the offsides replay in hockey. Nothing annoys me more. So you're going to take a goal off the board because somebody's skate was in the air by a 16th of an inch.
Well, I'm going to cut you off.
Yeah, it sucks, but it hasn't been as bad as it was last year.
It's been much better this year since they started giving you a 2-minute penalty if you fail on the challenge. I still hate the rule.
Oh, it's awful.
I still hate the rule. I despise it. They really cleaned up some of the needless delays. And I don't know, I also feel like the players have gotten better about it. Like, you know, I think in the past a player would be lazy and just, you know, sort of float his back toe over the line, where now he knows it's got to scrape along the ice, and so keep it on the ice. And I feel like the players have gotten better about it. I feel like this year the rule is not... I barely noticed the rule this year,
yeah,
to be honest with you.
And thankfully, because I remember a couple of seasons ago, it completely affected, you know, I was watching random playoff hockey.
Oh, it was horrible.
Completely affected a Blues-Blackhawks series that went completely the other way because they took a Blues goal off, gave the Blackhawks all the momentum, and boom, like, it was just, that was it.
So the offside's not as bad, but get ready for, again, headshot controversies and goalie interference controversies in the playoffs. That's coming. Removing the helmets and the face masks, I hear this a lot. I've actually heard it with football, that you would get fewer concussions in football if you took away the players' face masks and left their schnoz exposed, and it, you know what you would get is, you don't want a broken nose, quit, you know, tackling with your head down and arm tackle more like they do in rugby and da 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 da. And so a lot of football people think if you took away the face mask that would help football. And I've also heard in hockey that one of the worst things in college is they have the full shield, the full face mask, and so players play with their sticks up, their elbows up, everything's up, and that leads to bad habits, that blah 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 blah. So I think there's some merit to taking away helmets and whatnot. There's no chance it's ever going to happen. It's all going in the other direction.
Yeah, it's too big of a liability. It would never happen. I always thought it looked cool. Craig McTavish was the last holdout, right?
He was, but I remember seeing Guy Lafleur here with the Quebec Nordiques.
Oh, yeah, he was another one. But
with his flowing locks coming in here and scoring on a slide. I went there specifically to see Guy Lafleur. He looked so freaking cool without a helmet on when he came back and played. So I'm not sure if he was the last or McTavish, but it's going the other way. Can I please hear Greg Bedard's swearing, please?
Yes. I thought it was going to come to a head in December, that Belichick was going to be like, F We've been going through this for how many months? That's it. Sit your behind on the bench.
And we all missed it, too. And I thought
What do you mean you missed it? That got on the air?
I think it did.
No, I dropped it.
Oh, you did get it?
Okay. He didn't miss it. Everyone in the room missed it.
I thought it was going to come to a head in December. That Belichick was going to be like, we've been
Yeah, Bernard worked blue that day.
It apparently went over TV, I'm told. It did not go over the radio side.
So he and I listened to it in a very kind of very slow.
Yeah, Hook and I listened to the raw tape and was like, yep, there's three of the four letters there.
It's like he got the C in there. He maybe didn't go full K, but he got the first three letters in there, definitely.
I thought it was going to come to a head in December. That Belichick was going to be like,
So there you go.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I have some calls on the line that have been sitting here to talk sports. I don't just want to leave you high and dry, so we're going to do a lightning round, okay? The Jimmy Stewart Memorial Lightning Round. You've got to be quick. In and out. We'll start with, I'm sorry, sir, I can't pronounce your name, Vaze in Canton?
Yeah, Murray.
Yes?
Have you forgotten how god-awful Johnny Manziel was when he was in the NFL? I remember this one Bengals game. Every time he threw a pass, the Bengals would knock it down, and they'd start doing the money celebration right in his face.
Oh, yeah, no, he was brutal with the Browns, and he was not showing up to practice because he was in Vegas, you know, doing line after line and having drink after drink. There was no commitment from him. And I get that he's undersized, but undersized quarterbacks like Russell Wilson, like Drew Brees, have done extremely well in the NFL, so it's not a size thing with me. I think he's talented enough. It's just, was he dedicated? Certainly not. He has the talent. Someone has to give him a chance.
And worst comes to worst, Murray?
We got a hell of a story.
You can get some sticky from him. Here's Harry and Lawrence. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, hi. I was just getting back to the Belichick and the Brady battle of the egos. During the game, there was a trick play. I think it was either Amendola or Hogan threw to Brady.
Yep.
To the sidelines. I personally think Brady looked like he was tiptoeing to try to get that ball. And I don't know how he managed to let it go through. I mean, he wasn't really giving it his best shot.
Yeah, where was that? Yeah, did that appear in episode 6? Did it? I say that angry, like he didn't put it in there. He might have. I can't remember. Did he?
I don't think so.
Did he talk about that? Did he talk about his commitment and picking the kids up from school after he let that one go through his fingers? How about catch the ball there, Tommy boy? Stephen Lynn. Hi, Steve.
Don't fumble either.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Good point.
Listen, I wanted to just get a couple points. I think Patriots ownership has undermined Belichick with the Garoppolo episode. Brady's at the end of his football career, but he's in a midlife crisis with his huge support system. We got to listen to everything he does. Man, I don't need that. Grow up and shut up.
Okay, grow up and shut up. I'll just leave it for there. Right there, since this is a lightning round. Mark in New Hampshire. Hi, Mark.
Hey, first-time caller. I'm a little nervous here, but it has to do with the Super Bowl, Patriots. In today's NFL, it's a business. Okay, so how does Bill Belichick decide to take a guy out of the game that could have cost us fans the game? So he's the coach, which I'd call him maybe the president of the team. You got a CEO, and we're the stockholders. We got burnt, and we have a right to have won that game. That decision was horrible, and I love the Patriots, love Bill, love Tom. But, man, that was just a bummer.
Okay, you're right to be pissed. That's your right for sure. Jason in the car on Danny Ainge.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I really think it comes down to anyone on that 80s Celtics team is like a god forever in this town, no matter what. It could be anybody you never heard of. You know, it could be the 12th guy on the bench. Danny Ainge is the GM, so it's Danny can do no wrong because he played on the 86 Celtics. Well, that's what I think it comes down to.
He's also good. And he's also made some trades that have just, like, some of the biggest fleeces and grand slam home runs at the trade table that you've ever seen. I mean, he's just brilliant, brilliant trades. There's no doubt about that. I'm just telling you, any other GM on any other team, we'd look at and say, one championship in 15 years? You got to go. I mean...
I also think if it was any other team in town, the criticism would be a lot harsher because it's the Celtics and because the Celtics fans typically aren't as hard and... You know, they're not as abrasive as the other fans.
They're certainly not. The Celtics fan is more forgiving and all that. And also, it's much harder in the NBA. That's the real answer. Hook's right. We all understand how hard it is in that league. So we give you know, a great deference to not winning the championship. Like, it's okay. But again, I just think it needs to be pointed out. And if it gets to 1 in 20 years, like, I mean, at some point you got to say, well, there's got to be more championships there for you to, you know, have the reputation that you have. All that being said, where the heck is this Chinese space station, Murray?
Oh, yeah, I'm reading from London's Daily Mail. The story reads as follows. Big headline. Out of control Chinese space station will crash into Earth over Easter weekend with New York and Southern Europe in the firing line.
Okay,
Mike.
This is my point. With New York and Southern Europe in the firing line. So this is my whole, this proves my point. You don't need to read anything else. All started, Hook, just really quick as background. If people want to know why I'm obsessed with this, it's because I just think that how the dinosaurs ended with a meteor hitting Earth is one of the most purposely undertold stories in humankind. Because if people knew that an entire race, an entire ecosystem vanished like that because a rock hit us from space, if people realize that's how the dinosaurs went and that we could go the exact same way, it'd be mass chaos. It'd be lawless chaos around the globe. So people get deluded into thinking that it was other things that did in the dinosaurs, or there's vast groups of people who don't even believe that dinosaurs existed, etc. So look, I if people really knew what happened to the dinosaurs, it's one of the most undertold stories in humankind. Okay.
There's more here if you want
listen.
To be freaked out further.
No, listen. So
I have many thoughts, but go ahead.
The background.
Hook, shut up.
Shut up. So I've got a little thing for asteroids coming to the Earth. And people always say to me, well, we'll redirect them. We'll stop them in space. We'll blow them out of the sky. And I'm like, you idiots. We're not going to blow anything out of the sky. We can never tell when the rocks are coming. And we don't have the technology to blow them out of the sky anyway. And really, at the end of the day, we know nothing. We have no idea. And I'll give you several examples. One was a meteor in Russia just last year that came flying through the sky, you know, blew glasses out of buildings, did a ton of damage. And when it came, you know, this fireball through the sky that hit in Russia cities, the Russian scientists looked up and went, oh, we didn't see that one coming. And you hear it all the time. There's these reports that, you know, scientists are tracking, asteroid X1, X1, and they can do it. No. We have no idea when it's coming, where it's coming, and when it hits, it's going to end civilization as we know it. So just accept that. Okay. This space station is another example. We put the thing up there. Now it's coming down. We don't know when it's going to hit or where it's going to hit to the point where they've now narrowed it down, and their strike zone is somewhere between where, Murray?
New York and Southern Europe, Mike.
Thank you. My exact point. We can't tell within tens of thousands of miles where the thing's going to hit. Go.
China's out-of-control space station will crash into Earth this coming Easter weekend, according to the European Space Agency. The agency's Space Debris Office...
That's good they have that.
...has said that...
Useless agency.
Tiangong-1 is going to hit somewhere across our planet's northern hemisphere between March 30th and April 2nd.
We can't even tell. So in the last report, they gave me a 12-day window. Now they've narrowed it down to 3 days... And a area covering New York to Paris. Oh, great, great job there. So, Hook.
Seems to me the Space Debris Office is doing their job.
Listen, Hook. Yeah. This is something we put up there that's not even coming from another universe, this is coming from near-Earth orbit that we put up there. And we can't even tell where or when, within days or tens of thousands of miles, and we're going to blow some asteroid out of the sky from a different galaxy? No shot.
Well,
the Easter egg hunt in Central Park, by the way, is going to be lit.
Experts believe... that most of Tiangong-1 will burn up upon reentry.
They believe.
But shards as large as 220 pounds could strike Earth. Scientists believe that even in high-risk areas, the chance of being struck by Tiangong-1 debris is about 1 million times smaller than the odds of actually winning the Powerball. There you go. However, there is a chance parts of the station containing hazardous hydrazine could plummet into highly populated areas. Hydrazine, for those that don't know, is a chemical which is included in rocket fuel that causes irritation of the eyes and throat, dizziness, and can lead to the growth of cancerous tumors.
No, not that. I read The Martian. I think that's in there.
Scientists will only know the precise date it will impact and exactly where debris will fall during the final days of its descent.
Ha!
Released yesterday, this new map shows a number of highly populated cities, including New York, Barcelona, Beijing, Chicago, Istanbul, Rome, and Toronto.
Oh,
they could all be hit.
Wait a minute. So now it's Chicago to Istanbul.
Yeah.
Chicago to Istanbul, Chicago, that's Turkey, right?
Yes.
From an area from Chicago to Turkey.
Yeah.
And we pretend, society believes that if there's a meteor or an asteroid coming to Earth, that we can send Ben Affleck into the sky and blow that thing out of the sky because our technology and our tracking devices are so dialed that we can do that. And we can't even tell the flipping Chinese space station if it's going to hit between Chicago and Turkey.
220 pounds?
220
so that's
pounds,
like yeah. Flaming chunks of me coming down. Well, I'm if I were 220, I'd feel pretty good. But flaming chunks of me landing on New York City, Paris, and Istanbul.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
This wraps up by saying more.
Or anywhere in between. They have no idea. But yet, we'll be able to handle the asteroid or the comet coming to Earth.
Here's my one thought for you going back like 10 minutes. I think you vastly over or underestimate the number of people who don't realize the dinosaurs were knocked out by a meteor.
What did you learn in school?
I even went to school in some crazy Texas backwater school, and I learned that.
They didn't know. It's just that they starved or ran out of food. It was so nebulous. They sort of hide it from you.
No. Well, all right. I don't know what kind of school you're going to.
Dude,
they ain't hiding it from me.
There are millions of people in religions who don't want to believe in the dinosaurs exist.
I get the religion, but it's not really a well-kept secret is what I'm saying. Not to the point that you think so.
It's underplayed.
I know that Carl Everett has got issues with it. I think if we went outside and started asking people, hey, what happened to the dinosaurs? You'd hear meteor a lot.
I'm just thankful.
I don't think so. I don't think you would. I think it's been hid. I think it's been hid from people purposely.
I think this calls for a scientific exploration.
Because if you all really knew that at any moment that could be it, because a rock from space that we can't track and can't redirect, don't buy that nonsense, ended life on Earth as we know it, just like that, bang, you'd all lose your crap. It'd be, again, complete lawless chaos. So they hide it from you, Hook.
I've now heard this rant or permutation of it probably 4 or 5 times since I've joined the show full time.
It really hasn't changed much, has it?
No, but what I'm really thankful for is because it's a rant of a crazy person or a rant of someone who typically would smoke up and then go on this long-winded, man, you don't understand what's in the sky and it's coming down. And I'm just thankful that particular Tuesday evening in Minneapolis didn't devolve into this, because it feels like you got a lot of thoughts about these kind of things, Mike. And thankfully,
it sounds like I'm nuts, like I'm worried about the asteroid hitting me. I'm not. It's really more an argument I have with people who think we can blow the asteroid out of the sky. It's now become like arguing the NFL salary cap. Like, I really don't care at the end of the day. I just want to prove my point or argue my point. Like, the people who think that we can find these asteroids and these space rocks and redirect them.
No, because people have deluded themselves into thinking that there's some semblance of control, which there is not.
No, that like the Martian. Like, we actually have all of those capabilities. We don't. It's science fiction. It's nonsense. What, Mike? What?
So this panic is coming from the man who wants to sell the Earth the lava tarp.
Hold on. So there's another one. Hold on, Mike.
Yeah, you familiar with this, Hook?
Get you caught up on that.
So
Maz says that the bigger danger is Yellowstone blowing, and
this is a thing. Yeah.
That whole thing, and that's another way that the Earth could perish, and another chance for Armageddon. And
the
I said
from within,
I said that that's more manageable than a space rock.
Mike's going to put a pool cover over it.
We did dub it the larva tarp because I said there's some sort of we can go there now. We can actually research the thing. We can drive trucks to the Yellowstone.
What if you like pop it though and it
stick,
explodes
whatever.
Like a big zit on the face of the Earth?
Saying there's a million, we can go there and actually explore the thing and stick rods into it and work on a solution, whether that happens to be a tarp, a big sort of straw device, or something like that. Where with an asteroid, there's no shot, pal. So anyway, that's the larva top. I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
Mike, you might be off the hook here. Pop it?
Yeah. Or something. Something.
Like the Earth has a zit. We're just going to pop.
This is what I just said. This is the risk, though. That's not the answer. That's the risk. You start sticking sticks in that thing, it's going to explode.
I'm saying we can research it and come up with a solution. Go ahead.
So instead of the lava tarp, we're now moving to like Earth oxy pads. We're just going to rub those on it until the eruption goes down. Like, Mike, you're so delusional about this. By the way, did you know that Tesla has a roadster orbiting the Earth right now in space?
Is that true?
Yeah.
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 Musk put just for hee-haws, put up a roadster into space. It's just circling the Earth right now. God, I swear, I don't ask the Lord above us for much, but if that thing could land in your yard, I'd be so happy.
The thing is, it's just, if you think we have any clue or any idea how to stop these things or get in the way of these things, you just have no clue.
Look, it's going to be solar flares in the end. That's what's going
to
take us down.
So don't get me started with that. There's another one that's just not told to you.
Yeah.
That's just not told to you.
And there's a clock ticking on that. They'll tell you. We're like 4 billion years away, but at any point, the sun can become angry. One of those solar flares comes out.
This knocks out the grid, right?
The grid, yeah. So this is the, people do not buy, this is maybe even worse than the dinosaur thing. the fragility of the grid and how all of our lives depend on that grid being up and running. You have no clue. And what a little solar flare can knock that thing out for years.
Yeah.
And what is that? I'll close with this story. And I swear to God, this is true. I have a few fancy friends. And so I happen to be sitting at dinner with a super high executive at an energy company in New England. That's as far as I'll go.
Okay.
Okay. A super high executive at a prominent energy company here in Boston. I don't know. I had no business sitting at the table with this guy, but I just did. And since I'm there, I've got to scratch this itch because I got this big grid thing. And I said to him, I said, so I'm sure you get this all the time, but I got to ask you, what happens if the grid goes down or what happens with these solar flares? And he said, we'll know more the second time.
Oh, God.
I swear to God, real answer. Swear to God. He said, we'll know more the second time.
Oof.
So we're sitting here with our pants down and our butt cheeks exposed, ready to get spanked. Yep, that's coming. So suck on that while you consider the final word coming up next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blend force drum!
We're gonna run him right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final word is being brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deals on tires? There's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices, nobody great free services. Nobody, as Michael said, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So we were going to have a one-piece final word, but thanks to our most recent conversation, we are bringing this out of the mothballs. Lava tarp.
Uh-oh, volcanic eruptions ruining your plans? Is pyroclastic flow slowing your roll? If so, you need Lava Tarp. Lava Tarp is the fast and easy way to cover, prevent, and control cracks, leaks, and fissures in the Earth's crust. That's right, Lava Tarp is guaranteed to momentarily stop even the most stubborn volcanic activity.
But how does it work?
Just spread the Lava Tarp over the source of the seismic disturbance and let its patented combination of Kevlar, Teflon, and dilution do the rest. Setup is easy as lay and pray. We took Lava Tarp to Hawaii and put it through 52 eruptions, and the island is still standing. Yahoo! And if you order Lava Tarp right now, we'll give you a second Lava Tarp and a pair of oven mitts absolutely free. Lava Tarp, just $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-SORY to order now.
Very straightforward. There you go.
All right. That's a plan.
Another way to stop it. Have you seen Jordan Clarkson of the NBA? He believes dinosaurs were pets for giant humans.
That's awesome.
So maybe we could find a giant human to put his big giant finger in the volcano to actually stop.
Plug her right
the
up.
Eruption.
Yep.
Michael, I'm to understand you were very excited. You missed most of NFL free agency last week, but when you returned, very excited about the Patriots' newest acquisition.
The first, I'll just give you my Cordell Patterson thought. If this cat ends up taking $3.25 million off your cap, for what?
For what? To return kicks?
One kick off a game?
You've got to be kidding. For what? He's the best? One of the best of all time? I'll give it to you. He's one of the best kick returners of all time. Second to Gale Scare. Gale Sayers. You mean kick returns yet last year?
Seven.
No, it was low. It was low.
19. Yeah, one a week. 19.
19.
Do you know how easy it is to neutralize a kick returner? You blow it out of the back of the end zone and you never hear from the guy. So you're going to pay 3.25 for what? So I could give two poops? Man, he's the second best kick returner ever? You're the best kick returner in the league. Neat. Cordell Patterson? Oh, I hate that trade-off. Can you tell?
Didn't notice.
Cordero Patterson. God, could I care less about that guy?
Yeah, you do.